You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production.
When it comes to affordable groceries in this country, it's pretty clear that we all see the problem. That includes you, potentially choosing between two stores in your area that are owned by the same company, if you're lucky enough to have a choice at all. That includes us, devoting an entire recent episode of this podcast to exploring how Loblaw managed to grab the grocery industry in Canada by the throat. And it includes politicians and the government agency charged with monitoring exactly this problem. Okay, so we all know what's wrong. What exactly are we doing about it? The federal government has come out and said they want more players in the grocery market. They have hoped that chains like Aldi and Trader Joe's would enter Canada. That hasn't happened. Why not? What is it about the grocery sector, or maybe about industry in Canada in general, that makes competition so difficult? Why don't we have more choice? What could we do to change that if we really wanted to? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Vas Bednar is the executive director of McMaster's Masters of Public Policy in Digital Society, as well as the author of RegsToRiches.com, somebody we call when policy gets a little complicated, especially around issues of competition and federal regulations, I guess.
That's my bat phone. I've answered the call.
Excellent. Well, why don't you start? We did an episode last week on this show with David Moskrop, who I think you know, about how Loblaw came to dominate the marketplace in Canada.
Yeah.
But it's not just them. Maybe give us a really quick overview of the grocery market, or as some might say, a cartel in this country.
It's so interesting that you use the word grocery, because I think what some of David's work shows is that it's very difficult to have an apples-to-apples comparison when we look at these companies. The Competition Bureau did a report that they released last year. Big surprise, the title, Canada Needs More Grocery Competition. So in 2022, Canada's three largest grocers, which are Loblaws, Sobeys, and Metro, collectively reported more than $100 billion in sales and earned more than $3.6 billion in profits. So there's a lot that kind of happens in terms of where and how these companies compete, and that ends up contributing to the barriers for other independent firms to scale up, but also probably daunts international companies from coming forward.
What does that kind of top of the food chain concentration do to an industry? We've seen it in telecoms, we've seen it in a lot of places in Canada.
Well, we care about competition generally because of choice, more consumer choice. There's more pressure to innovate. So innovation, better quality products and services. And then, of course, price. And I think in this inflationary period where people are more price sensitive than ever before, price has been a major entry point to these broader conversations of competition for a lot of people. The price that Canadians pay for groceries has been rising fast. Now, grocery prices are really, really complex, and geopolitical factors, higher input costs, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, supply chain disruptions, like a lot factors into the price of our food.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Competition Bureau found is that they've seen a longer term trend that predates those events of Canada's largest grocers increasing the amount that they make on food sales. So what does it do for us? I mean, I think it makes people feel a little bit more trapped, a little bit more constrained. And because our major grocery stores have very extensive and elaborate private label offerings, we have to remember that they are not just vehicles for food suppliers to sell. They are also directly competing. They know what their competitors' prices are, and they know what people are buying. And that information can directly inform what products they either seek to acquire as a private label brand or that they start to make.
Hmm.
So I think that private label dimension is really important. Two other ones I wanted to offer to you on grocery. Real estate. I didn't appreciate the dynamic of real estate, but grocers are also landlords, right? They have REITs, they buy up land, and they can decide who else gets to be a tenant there. And the Bureau is trying to curb that through new legislation. Finally, I don't know how much this is true. So you're like, Vass, why are you saying it? I found some people online writing about labeling and that labeling, food labeling requirements across provinces, so not just with Quebec in terms of being bilingual, are inconsistent. And that's a factor for making it a little bit, you know, slightly more challenging to compete in terms of bringing a new private label product or kind of bringing new products forward. So the good thing is I think we're in this moment where we're looking at interventions big and small that could better support healthier competition, more robust competition. Again, more competition doesn't need to be more competitors. Maybe we can have more effective competition that's more aligned with our values with these grocers.
We can talk about that possibility in a minute, but I do want to talk about bringing other companies into the market because, as you mentioned, you know, that's the goal of that report. It's the stated goal of this government.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult is it, or what are the challenges in a new player breaking into a business that's so concentrated between so few companies?
I mean, back to real estate and where our population is concentrated, we know that when people shop for groceries, they're not willing to go that far.
Right.
So proximity really, really matters when it comes to grocery elements. There's also a lot of invisibility to the agri-food supply chain. So there's a voluntary code of conduct that has been worked on for quite a few years now, the Grocery Code of Conduct. There's a very promising intervention in terms of better supporting the industry to kind of play more fair, play more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of times where there might be kind of egregious tolls or prices or barriers to kind of even getting on the shelf in the first place. So we do need to better understand what it's like that across that whole system before we're just maybe over-focusing on price and variety. There's this whole kind of less visible or invisible activity before something gets on the shelf. So in terms of someone new coming here, they're competing with companies that are very rich in terms of data and knowledge of what people want, what they purchase.
Right.
And that's a blind spot that could certainly be a deterrent.
We're talking specifically today because of a report recently that, well, it's not even a report. The government stated openly that they were hoping that Aldi would come to Canada. Aldi, I think, is pretty clear that they're not coming to Canada. But for everybody who's listening, what is Aldi?
Aldi's a German discount supermarket chain. They also own Trader Joe's, right? You previously U.S.-based. And like some of our major grocery stores, they have kind of really interesting subsidiaries, right? A mobile virtual network operator. They also sell alcohol and gas. And roughly 90% of the items in Aldi's stores are its own brands. Again, so for how competition is happening, if Aldi were to come here, most of what it would sell would be its own products, right? So it's not opening up its shelves to tons of independent third-party food manufacturers. It's opening up shop to kind of sell its own goods. A fun fact about Aldi is that Aldi had an office in Canada for a couple of years, but they didn't end up opening any stores here. So it feels like they've sort of sniffed things out. And what I'd love to know is more about the government's conversations. What are they hearing from these major, very powerful, very successful discount grocers about why they won't come to Canada? Because that's really informative in terms of structural barriers, but also just terms of competition barriers.
What kind of levers does a government have if they want to make it more appealing for a brand like Aldi or a brand like Trader Joe's or anybody else to move into this country and set up shop?
Some of the levers we have there, they're not really that sexy, but there's legislative work we could do. The Competition Bureau suggested we do more on accessible and harmonized unit pricing requirements. Again, that's the labeling element. And if you're trying to court a company that's mostly going to sell its own goods on the shelves, they need to be able to have a kind of path forward on the labeling side. We've sort of seen some tentative threats, I think, around the prospect of an excess profits tax. I don't know how scary or intimidating that is to the current grocers, as well as Walmart and Costco. One also wonders, you know, what is the government able or willing to do when it comes to helping these companies access, again, just the real estate, just the land, where we have the densest population is also where land and rents are the most expensive. To a certain extent, geography remains our destiny in Canada and could be one of these hurdles going forward. If we're not paying better attention to these structural realities of how these companies compete and how the terms of competition have changed over time, it's not really going to matter if we have one new competitor in the space, because all those other factors, like with the private labels, are going to hold true.
What kind of impact could a true discount grocer potentially have on the market? And how worried, I guess, would that make the Loblaw and Sobeys of the world?
Well, last year I floated the idea of an inflationary food basket for Canada. We've seen experiments with this in Greece and in France. One was a legislative intervention, one was a voluntary intervention, and we saw Canada kind of echo this approach on voluntary concessions with major grocery stores. Hey, what can you do to support price savings for Canadians? And the different companies seem to be doing a couple of different things, but they're also holding their cards a little close to their chest. So it may be that we're finding in Canada that, big surprise, a private marketplace just doesn't support public interest enough. And we need to have a set nutritional basket of goods that includes pet food and baby formula, where we're kind of capping, we're putting a ceiling on either the price growth or kind of what that could cost. I want us to pay more attention in Canada, not just to when companies writ large exit Canada, right? Like, oh, Target didn't make it here. Why? Is that a Target failure or a Canada failure? Important conversation. To me, what's more important and what I'm a little bit obsessed with is Kleenex leaving Canada last year.
Why?
Because Kleenex is the tissue brand, right? It is synonymous with tissue. We say, do you have a Kleenex, right? Kleenex chose to no longer compete in Canada, even though it was still profitable. Now, you could say it's just a Kleenex decision. It's the lazy man's innovation. They looked at their global market and said, we're profitable in Canada, but not that profitable. So here's how we're going to boost our bottom line. Let's just get out of Canada. The way I think we need to look at it is they were so constrained and extorted in terms of shelving fees and slotting fees and disciplined on price by private label products like Walmart's Great Value tissue,
right,
that they just said, it's not worth it to compete here. We're out of here. Now, that might have been the best business decision from them, but we need to learn way more about that exit as an way to inform what else needs to change. And again, back to that grocery code of conduct, back to previous commitments the government has made around getting better data on food prices and looking across the agri-food supply chain, that base element of transparency is still going to be very helpful. It's not going to shift those structural realities, but it's going to help us better understand, like, what's going on here. And I think that's the main question on everyone's mind. Like, why are things the way they are? How can they be better?
I want to ask a bit of a devil's advocate question, which is whether we're talking about Kleenex or Target or a company like Aldi deciding not to even try in the first place, why should our government want to make it easier for foreign companies to sell their products to Canadians rather than Canadian company, whether it's a private label brand or not, not talking about Walmart here, but certainly Loblaw is a Canadian company, sell to Canadians? Like, if our money's going to go somewhere, why shouldn't it go to the Weston family rather than the Walton family who own Walmart?
I think that's a good question. I mean, what you're also kind of getting at is there a universe where, again, better, more effective competition actually leads to price increases?
Right.
And are we able to tolerate that? We have this assumption more competition means cheaper prices. Does it? I mean, Costco and Walmart have the ability, because of their scale, to offer and pass on considerable discounts to people. But again, at what cost? So should we be protecting and promoting the growth of Canadian grocers? I do think the Bureau's thinking very deeply about, you know, independent grocers. What can we do for them? How many of them are still left? And understanding their pain points and pressures in a really frank way without kind of over intervening into that market, right? People sort of get annoyed in Canada. They think that we overstep with the role of the state in terms of how we've sculpted markets. And maybe historically, we need to look back and make sure that the approaches we've taken are still best suited to the markets that we want.
Well, it's also just so confusing because, as you mentioned, there are lots of people who will say, like, get the government out of this. We overstep in terms of what we do in this country. And then all of a sudden, food prices rise like crazy for 2 years. And we're all like, get the government involved in this. Why is the government doing nothing?
Exactly. I think we see a role for the state to make markets more free and fair. And there is this growing sense of malaise that we are overly constrained in Canada. We don't have a lot of choice. And it's not just about choice, it's that loss of trust. And with grocers, we're seeing, you know, shrinkflation, weirdness with pricing and deals. Some are saying a depreciation in the value or the exchange of, you know, loyalty points, how much you can earn for what you're purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
And that frustration just isn't translating to corporate changes that we expect. So I hope Canada can be a case study in the future for, again, modest, meaningful, potentially revolutionary interventions that improve the terms of competition for suppliers and consumers. We're getting there.
Last question, just because you mentioned it a couple times and I'm curious, you know, you've said, I would love to know what the government is hearing about X. If you could hear one thing, the unvarnished truth from the government around competition in marketplaces like grocery in this country, what do you want to know that we don't?
I want to know what it's like as a small kind of independent food processor to negotiate getting on a shelf in a major grocery store.
Mm.
I don't think we have a rich enough appreciation of what it means to get access to these grocery markets. And again, that is distinct from just really being realistic about how crowded our grocery store shelves are with private label products and how much that's kind of depreciated our choice and autonomy as consumers. I want to know everything, though.
Vass, thank you so much for this. I have a much, as I usually do after talking to you, a much deeper understanding of what the screaming headlines are telling me.
You're very kind. Great to chat.
Vass Bednar of McMaster University. You can find her writing at regstoriches.com. That was The Big Story. For more from us, including, as I mentioned, off the top, our recent exploration of Loblaw's dominance and a whole bunch of other episodes in the past about grocery prices, because they continue to be a huge issue for Canadians, you can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Just search for groceries. You can give us feedback if you're getting tired of grocery episodes or you want a different angle on them. The way to get in touch with us is by email at hello@thebigstorypodcast.ca or by calling us and leaving a voicemail. That number is 416-935-5935. The Big Story is in every single podcast player. Since I asked last week for some reviews, I've seen a few roll in and they're so nice to read. I share them with the team. I share them with our bosses, because I'm shameless like that. So we'd love to read some more. You can do that on Apple and Spotify. You can do it wherever it lets you, frankly. And we're in every single podcast player and we're on smart speakers. Just ask it to play The Big Story Podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.